Good morning, everybody. It's August 14th, 2019. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Got a good show for you today because I love doing work and shows with about rural education, which to me is overlooked, and I love just constantly pounding everybody about it because it's so important. We've got Dr. Scott Crane. My good friends over at Waterford Institute have introduced us to Dr. Crane. And Scott is the superintendent of schools in Grand County School District out in Utah. I say out in because I'm in Maine. It's far from here. Okay, in Moab, Utah. We'll talk about Moab, Utah, too, and what it looks like. It's got to be gorgeous out there. I've never been to Moab. Okay, and they just had the Utah Rural Schools Conference, and teachers and principals got together. Okay, and so we're going to talk about that and what they're doing out there. Usually our rural education, I work a lot with Alan Pratt over the National Rural Education Association, Jeff Hawkins in Kentucky, who just wrote a great article in our magazine. And ACNA, I'll tell you about that in a second. And, you know, it's a pleasure to be going out west. We usually go east and south. Now we're going west, so this is really good. It's going to be a great show, all about rural schools in Utah in particular and what's happening out there. Great stuff, I am sure. So stay tuned, Dr. Crane, and I'll be with you in just a minute. I just want everybody to know we're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. That's our website. We have every show we've ever done over there. And education-talkradio.org. You can follow us. We'll send you a link after every show over at Twitter, EduTalk Radio, Facebook, EduTalk Radio, LinkedIn, EduTalk Larry. Again, why I did that, I have no idea. And please, and Dr. Crane, I don't know if you're familiar with it, check out our magazine, which is a digital magazine. It's called Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity. All right. And ACNE is what we like to call it, ACNE. It's at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. It is a digital magazine. It is online only. Okay. This is our back-to-school issue. Just came out this week. It is chock full of advertising and information in that article on rural education. Terrific article by Dr. Jeff Hawkins out in Tennessee. All right, so I really advise everybody, please check it out. It's really good, and you'll really like it. We are trying so hard to focus on accessibility and equity in education for every student, every school, every day, ace-ed.org. And now, without further ado, I've done enough here blabbing. Let me bring on Dr. Crane. I keep wanting to say Fraser. You've heard that one before, right, Scott?
Yeah, I get that all the time.
I know, but you are Scott Crane.
I like Kelsey grammar.
I like them too. Where are you from? Are you from out there?
Yeah, I'm originally from Idaho.
So you came a little south.
I need to correct you. I'm not the superintendent of grand schools at this time. I'm the executive director of the service center here in the Southeast Service Center.
And thank you so much for telling me that. I saw in the write-up here, I had the title misplaced on here, and it wasn't making sense to me, okay? You are it's the Southeastern Educational Service Center. You're the executive director, and ESA, right?
Yes.
I love them. I work with them. I hope you know, do you know Joan Wade over at AESA?
Yeah.
Okay,
yes,
Joan's great. She's on our show a lot, and we work with her a lot. Okay, and actually they help us distribute our magazine. So hopefully you'll get it.
Yeah.
And I'll send it to you myself anyway.
Cool. Well, Joan's been out with us, worked with us here in our service centers in Utah, attended our conferences and stuff. She's a great support, great lady.
She is in all of those things, okay? Dr. Joan Wade is the executive director of the Association of Educational Service Agencies, AESA.us. And I always say, and Scott, you can go back and listen to a million shows, the ESAs are the hidden thing in education. You ask most people, they don't even, especially outside of education, and some inside, they don't even know they exist. But what you guys do for curriculum and technology and sharing ideas and professional development and I'm sure yours is the same, okay, is just beyond words. And I hope people really take a good look. AESA.us. Good enough, right, Scott?
Yeah, I support you 100% on that.
Yeah, it's really good stuff. So talk about your ESA. What's it called? Southeastern?
Yeah, it's the Southeast Educational Service Center.
Okay.
Do you want me to just to kind of give a little background on that?
I do. And talk right into your phone so we can hear you clearly.
Okay, how about that? That
better?
That better?
Yeah.
Okay. In Utah, we have four service centers. We have a northeastern center, a central center, southwest, and southeast. And we are governed by the Rural Schools Association. That is our association that connects all four of the service centers. Each, that's 26 rural school districts in Utah. We have a board of the association, but each of our districts or our service centers have their own boards. Where our organization governance is the superintendents of each of the districts that are part of each service center make up the board, and we have ex officios of charter schools and universities that are within our areas, and those, that is the governing body. I'll tell you a little bit about the Southeast Utah Service Center. Is
please do.
We have 17,574 square miles in my service area. It's some of the four largest districts in Utah. San Juan District is in the very south. Carbon School District, Emory School District, and Grand School District, where I was a superintendent. To give you a picture of that, that area is larger than Pennsylvania.
Wow. Pennsylvania is not small. Pennsylvania.
Yeah. So.
Pennsylvania. Wow. That's my own state. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, to drive, if I got in my car today after this meeting and drove to the southernmost school, it would take me 7.5 hours. I would have to go to Arizona and come back through Arizona back on the Navajo Indian Reservation, which is part of the San Juan School District. It's called Navajo Mountain. It's a sacred Navajo site, but we have a little school right there in the shadow of Navajo Mountain. But you do have to go south through Utah, go to Arizona, go towards Page, Arizona, then come back into the reservation, back into Navajo Mountain. We have a wide diversity of students. We have two national parks. We have Arches and Canyonlands, which are right next to Grand, where I was the superintendent, Moab, and you have those two wonderful parks, and then you have three national monuments, natural bridges, Hovind Weep, Rainbow Bridge. We have a school in Monument Valley, one of the most beautiful desert scenic
views in the world.
And so that's kind of our area. Like I said, we are governed by our superintendents of those areas. I'm the associate executive director, so I work with them, and it's like being a superintendent, working with other superintendents.
Mm-hmm.
And then we only have five FTE. We have the executive director. We have two educational technology integration specialists, a technology specialist, and then a part-time media specialist and a part-time office manager. So we have one of our educational technology integration specialists that lives in Moab and works with Grand County Schools and San Juan County Schools.
Your old district. Yep.
Yep. And then we have one that lives here. We're centered in Price, Utah, and he works here with Carbon and Emory. And they provide a lot of wonderful, leadership and blended learning, technology coaching, STEM, robotics, research and support, and mainly they're educational integration specialists. So as we work along technology and professional development, they work right along with the teachers and the principals. So they don't sit in offices. They work in schools every day helping teachers with assessment, curriculum, and especially integration of technology. Then we have our technology. We have our technology specialist, and he works with all the tech directors of all of the districts to help coordinate purchasing, research software, hardware, coordinate state technology initiatives, and he maintains 20 servers here for us that help support the other districts. And our part-time media specialist is really, that's a really cool kind of a job because she works directly with the media folks, but it's all on how we can provide resources, ebooks, online DVDs, free internet educational resources to our rural schools. Because like I said, the schools down on the Navajo, northern part of the Navajo reservation, you know, they don't have access to big libraries. And so
right,
a lot
of
their information is in the internet. And so our ebook, our Sora, kids can go in, check out books, download them on whatever device they have, and have their own little library at home. Anybody can, you know, take it home, and everybody can read the book and enjoy it. So, and then just an office manager, and I'm the one that kind of directs all of this stuff going on, and that's kind of what we're made, you know, that's kind of our own little service center here. And then we combine.
And by the way, don't underestimate yourself. What you do is really important. What you do is really, really important. I want to make sure you know that, okay, from my point of view. It's from everybody you work with. It's important. So important. Okay? You're a little more than an office manager and your team.
You know, yeah. Well, I agree with you, Larry. It's rural schools, it's kind of it's a wonderful thing. The children that go to school in rural schools love to go to school there. They're not lacking or unhappy that they're in a, you know, in their environment. It's where they grew up. It's what they love. It's what they love to do. Farmers, ranchers. But they want the education that other people have. So in Utah, we have what's called the Wasatch Front, and that consists of Salt Lake and Ogden and Provo, and it's a strip along the Wasatch Mountains where the schools are bigger, it's more populated, it's where all of our Silicon Slopes, if you have it, are up there. And so the thing we are always wanting to do and striving to do is provide our rural students with the same opportunities that those kids have up on the Wasatch Front, which is difficult because, you know, they're small schools. Some schools only have maybe 30, 40 kids in them.
That's right.
A little school in Emory County, it's a high school, but it's basically 6 through 12, about 50, 60 kids, and they deserve to have the same opportunities as a large high school in other areas. And so it's, you know, that's my major goal is how we can help those schools have those same opportunities. And fortunately, we have technology systems that can do that. And, you know, so it's what I feel is my goal and it's my mission here in this job. Like I told you before, I've been a superintendent. I spent the last, I don't know, I've been in education now 42 years. 35 of that has been in administration, superintendent in two different states, different sizes of schools, gone through the economic depression of, you know, late 80s, dealt with all of that. And
again, 2007.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my second year as a superintendent in Idaho, having to deal with that. And so, you know, I feel very comfortable in my educational experiences and what I can bring to this position, but I really, my heart goes out for these kids and want them to have the same opportunities that everybody else has. So that's kind of a little bit about us. Is there anything else?
It's incredible.
You'd like to know?
It's beautiful what you just said. And, you know, to reach those kids, and I'll use your southernmost school, the Navajo school, those kids, and my wife works a lot in Indian education, okay, with the BIE. And she, you know, I hear the stories. And it's so hard, okay, to get everybody on an equal footing. They deserve the same education. The Indian kids, the rural kids, okay, we really got to strive for that. And a lot of people don't even recognize that's out there, okay, and that this challenge exists across the country. But your challenge is even more is very different from the one in Kentucky, the one in Tennessee, the one up here in Maine. It's a totally different thing. And let me ask, okay, Scott, what's the broadband like? I think broadband's pretty good in schools throughout Utah. Am I correct?
Yeah, we have a good system. The Utah government has put a lot of money into getting broadband throughout the schools, and they actually have an organization called UETN, which is Utah Educational Technology Network, and they are funded well, and they have put fiber, their last portion of fiber is going to be getting it to those small schools in the south, in San Juan, and also mm-hmm. on the other side, on the western part of the state. We have microwave that is able to do pretty good in those areas. It's a pretty good system, but that cable should be in this year.
It costs
a lot of, you know, millions of dollars, but each school
it's
has
worth
a good
it.
Wide. Oh, yeah.
You can pay me now or you can pay me later. It's worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah we're going to have some very – the end of this year, every school in the state should be connected to that system, and they provide a lot of resources for education, teacher resources. They provide library services through Utah
mm-hmm.
libraries, and that's the conduit to get that information to those small schools. And I've been in schools where you had, you know, in Idaho was back, like I said, 87 through there. And, you know, it was difficult getting a broadband into our schools even
oh, yeah.
at that time. And so I'm really happy with what's been going on here in Utah. So
that is excellent to hear. You just had your rural education conference and you brought teachers and principals together, Scott. When you brought them all together, what was the top of mind thing that came up?
Well, it's basically, you know, teacher efficacy and how that improves student learning. We have done, that is the URSA, like I said, URSA, Utah Rural School Association, is kind of what binds all of the service centers together. And that is made up of,
mm-hmm.
It has a board with representatives from the 26 rural school districts. And we've put that conference on for, 25 years now, ever
mm-hmm.
since the association was formed, a long time before I was around. And every year we put on a conference, and we do it in different places. We used to do it in a little town in southern Utah called Cedar City, which had
I've been to Cedar City.
Cool.
Yes.
So you know what I'm talking about. But we decided to move that around. So now it's on a rotation basis. It'll be in Cedar one year. Then it's in Price, which is in the center of the state. And then we'll go over to the western side next year in Richfield, Utah. And the whole purpose is to bring quality, cutting-edge folks to the rural school areas for these
mm-hmm.
teachers. Now, this last year we had John Hattie, and of course you know John Hattie.
Oh, sure, sure.
We had him coming in and Kathy Lassiter, which is one of his colleagues, to talk about
mm-hmm.
efficiency and equity. And then we had J2 training out of California, and then a local educator. We always try to have a local educator that's, you know, does speaking and things like that to bring a local flavor. But these are, you know, these are high quality people that we bring in. We use Solution Tree, a lot of Corwin, excuse me. And unfortunately, John had some trouble getting out here, and so Kathy took over for him, and she did a wonderful job. And so they come out, they give a keynote, they do workshops, and we have sponsors that help us with that. The cost, what do you think the cost to go to hear John Hattie or Kathy Lassiter this last summer? How much do you think the registration was for that for a rural teacher?
Well, I hope it was free, because I want them to all hear it. What was it?
$50.
Yeah, close enough
you
for
went,
free.
If you,
that's great.
Yeah, if you went to anywhere else to hear those folks, you're talking $300-$400.
Oh,
but
easy.
Anyway, so we put this conference on every year, and we bring in these speakers, national and international speakers, and our State Department of Education, they support this conference and subsidize our speakers. And so, you know, we're able to, through just the $50 tuition and the subsidy from the state, to have these wonderful conferences. They're 3 days. We also have national sponsors. We have and there to be a sponsor isn't very much money either, but they come in. We had Waterford last year. We've had them last 2 years. I could give you a list of them, but I don't have that in front of me. But, you know, good national companies that come in and teachers can visit with them and talk to them.
And I want to say Waterford is a Utah-based company, just so everybody knows that. Okay, Waterford Institute.
Yeah,
it would make sense to me, because Ben and Dusty, I know they care so much about education everywhere, but especially in Utah. Since you brought up Waterford, I want to ask you something. Okay, and they were the ones who introduced me, but I know they're concerned, I'm concerned, and every rural district is concerned about pre-K through 2, the very beginnings. Okay, and we can, you know, what's going on with that? I know they have their Upstart program and all that. Is that throughout the ESA, or what's happening with that pre-K?
I don't know if people know a lot about Waterford, but they're a literacy and a math, and now they're bringing on some science, pre-K through second grade, basically. I've been involved with them since they were very started. We, in Idaho, used to be a company called Albertsons, a grocery store, just had
stores
all over. Okay, well, they gave the state a bunch of money to buy Waterford for every kindergarten in Idaho. And so we were, you know, I've known them a lot of years. It's an excellent program. And the thing that's excellent about it is their studies that they have, national studies, show that it actually, you know, it does what it's supposed to do. So Upstart in Utah is an excellent program. What it basically is kids, before they go to school, can sign up free for the Upstart internet program. They get a computer. If they don't have a computer, Waterford provides a computer to them. If they don't have internet, they supply internet. And then the students can, in a game situation, it's a fun software. They can start learning their literacy and their math. And then in our region, we have Upstart in all four of the districts. In Grand, we have continued that through K through second grade. And to me, it's one of the, and I'm not, you know, I don't get paid by Waterford, okay? And
I know.
I don't get,
everybody knows.
You know, it's, you look out there and you see things come and go. But they have a proven record of helping kids.
Yes, they do.
With their literacy, and
it's incredible. That was just, I just got a press release yesterday that they're working in Mississippi, doing more work in Mississippi. I've done shows with Waterford and their work in Mississippi, okay, to help those very rural schools as well, like yours, and every kid pre-K. And, no, they work all over the country, and they are just wonderful. I've done a lot of shows with them. No, your words are I know they're sincere because I know the quality of what Waterford does out there, and it's their Upstart program and other things they do that just makes so much sense. The other thing I wanted to ask you, Scott, and I imagine this is a serious consideration for you, is you talked about teacher efficacy, which I loved you said that, but what about getting new teachers, teacher shortages? How you doing with that? Rural ed in Utah.
Well, teacher, it's difficult in rural areas, and it's difficult. You know, it's a national issue. It's a state issue.
Yep.
And as you go down that pipeline, you know, at the national issue, yeah, it's a problem. At the state issue, it becomes a little more intense. When you get to a rural school, it is kind of – it's really intense because the rural schools can't pay as much. Sometimes it's difficult to find, you know, a place to live. I know in Moab, when we would try to hire teachers – Moab is such, because of the national parks, it's a very touristy area. And so live in Moab is very expensive. And so we would hire teachers, and then we would work very hard to find them a place to live that they could actually afford. And so, yeah, in rural, it's really tough. I know in one of my districts, Emory School District, they need a psychologist. An opening for a psychologist for 2 years, and, you know, they don't get any applications. And they've even,
yeah, there's a tremendous shortage of school psychologists. Jeez,
yeah.
Tremendous.
Go ahead.
How you doing with math teachers and science teachers, civics teachers? Is there a shortage in any particular area? Or is it just across the board?
Oh, yeah, it's across the board, but special ed, math, and science are the toughest because they're you know, it's a tough curriculum, and you have to be very you know, you got to know your information. We've tried to do some things in Utah, alternate routes to licensure, where a person who has the credential science or math credentials or
to
come into ed, and they've worked okay, but the issue to me is you got to know how to teach, you got to know how to connect to kids,
you got to know pedagogy.
You got to know the pedagogy on how to work with students and young kids. You know, they look at our education, I hate to be a little negative, but they don't see the glamour of it anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
It's not a money making adventure. A lot of kids love to work with children, want to be teachers. They go to college and they're sitting with their roommate at night, you know, watching TV or doing something, and they say, "Well, what are you going into?" And they say, "Well, I'm going to be a scientist." And they say, well, you know, I'm doing science too, but I want to be a teacher. And then they start talking about how much they're going to make.
Starting salaries, yeah.
Quality of life and conditions of work. And it's brutal for education. So I think as a country, we've got to reestablish, in my mind, my opinion, we've got to reestablish the respect that the teachers had a few years ago. We need to get rid of some of the bureaucratic things that we put on their table and let them teach. I truly believe that if a teacher knows the standards that are required of their grade or their subject, if they're proficient in understanding those standards and they have the pedagogy for teaching, then the best thing you can do is just leave them alone, let them do PLCs. And
you're right. This day and age, they can connect anywhere in the world. And I'll tell you something else, and you can tell your school districts this. One of the challenges that education has, I always use this as kind of a joke, we always have career day at a high school. And the one career that never is talked about is education. Oh, you can be a veterinarian, you can be a firefighter, you could be a doctor, okay? You can be an engineer, but there's no education booth, okay? And that's a real challenge. The teachers themselves need to talk about the profession itself and get kids interested in it beyond even Future Teachers of America, okay? And really, you know, education's a science. It's that simple. And we got to talk up our own profession to the kids who might actually go and do it. It's that simple. We never do that.
Yeah.
Not that simple, but it's one of the things. We got
to
do it.
Back to that level of one of the best positions to be in, no matter what money you make. You know, when I started many, many years ago, it wasn't about the money. It was about working with kids. It was about trying to help them with all their issues and their problems that go on. But there comes a time when the dollar, you know, you got to provide for your own family too. And so we've got to take care of that problem in the United States. And the rural problem in Mississippi or Kentucky or Utah is just exasperated by the whole situation. And
it really is.
You know, if I had my way, you know, would allow kids that want to go into education, would pay them a good wage, would give them scholarships that so they could pay their way through school and then have them pay it back through a service in rural schools. I mean, if a child going into education, especially children of poverty or minority kids that have trouble even getting to college, if they had the opportunity to go to college, become teachers, then go back to their communities and work in those communities and be examples and, you know, be able to, it's kind of like a work process in my mind that if I go to college and I get it paid for, then every year I'm back in my community, in my school, some of that is forgiven. And I know they do that to a certain extent on, you know, some of the scholarships that they give out. But it's time we, you know, really took a good look at that and get those people in the communities and where they're having a tough time and get them to be the teachers, because they already have the culture connection. They already have the connection in the community, and they just, you know, will strive. It'll just break this barriers that I think we have. So, like I said, if I could do anything, that's what I'd do. But
yeah.
I have no political bent.
But you are sincere, my friend, and you are really a great educator, Scott. You really are. So we got to go. I love the way you talk, and I love what you're doing out there. You're a good man. Okay, and I bet that organization of yours, that ESA, is doing some great stuff for kids. Thank you, Scott. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate the time, and keep working hard, Frank. Okay, keep the good word going. Okay.
Yeah, and I will, and I'll send you our new magazine. You can read Jeff Hawkins' article. Okay, on rural ed.
Okay.
Okay.
All right,
enjoy it.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it. Bye bye.
Thank you. Have a good day out there. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Everybody, Dr. Scott Crane, not Fraser, Scott, who used to be the superintendent of schools in Grand County, Moab, Utah, but is now the executive director of the Southeastern Educational Service Center, their ESA out there in Price, Utah, which I'm going to look up on Google Earth. I've never heard of Price, Utah before, like I'm sure Scott has never heard of Cornish, Maine, where I live. Okay, and always great. But this rural education, we have got to take care of these kids. We just got to take care of these kids. All right, that's simple. All right, we're going to archive the show, education-talkradio.org. Tweet it out at EduTalkRadio. And enjoy our magazine, ace-ed.org, Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.